we're going to go right to the word of the Lord, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Amen. And we're going to continue on where we left off last week, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Verse 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Amen. Let's just ask God to talk to us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence, for what we feel. We pray that you would minister here in our lives, God, that you would have your way. Help us, Lord, to hear what we need to hear. And I pray that you'd help us to do what we need to do. And I pray that, God, you would let there be fruit that's planted and grown in our lives because of your word here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week, we began several lessons dealing with the subject, the marks of a Christian. The marks of a Christian. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, he said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul knew what it was like to experience persecution. He knew what it was like to go through things because of his work for the Lord. And so as he's writing here in Galatians, he says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." No doubt there were some physical marks, evidence of beatings and stonings and the persecution that he endured for the Lord. But even beyond the physical marks, there were some spiritual marks as well. And you can't have the experiences that Paul had without being radically changed from what you were before. Amen. There's a difference that's made in you when you have the experiences close to God like Paul had. Just think, to have the Lord get your attention in such a dramatic way on the road to Damascus. A light shines down from heaven, and God got Paul's attention, Saul of Tarsus then, of course. And think to be healed later of blindness that was caused from that encounter, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the one that you were formerly persecuting. And now you take on his name in baptism, and then dwelling in the desert for 3 years and having a vision of the Lord, God working on you and then sending you back to preach the gospel that you once worked against. There were some marks upon Paul's life that set him apart from others. And you could tell a difference about him. His life, his body, his soul were not his own, but they'd been purchased by Jesus Christ. And so should it be in our lives. We ought to have some marks upon us because we're Christians, declaring that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we're his people, that we've been set apart, that we're bearing the fruit of his spirit, that we're doing his work. Last week we looked at the mark of loyalty. Loyalty. And that's something definitely exemplified in the life of Paul. From the moment he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and to the time that his head likely rolled off the executioner's block at the end of his life, Paul was loyal. He was loyal. He could have saved himself from much of the suffering. Could have perhaps even saved his life But instead, he chose to be completely loyal to Jesus Christ and to the work that he'd been given to do. We need loyalty in our world. We need loyalty in our homes. We need loyalty in the church. We need loyalty in the little things of life. We need to be loyal to our convictions. We must be loyal to Jesus Christ. And there is a reward for loyalty. One day we want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And so tonight we're moving on from loyalty, and we're going to be covering, now this is everyone's absolute favorite subject, okay? Patience. The mark of patience. Now, what is patience? The word literally means steadfastness, constancy, endurance, perseverance, self-control, the ability to wait and not rush things. Some Bible scholars, they translate the word used for patience as being willing to suffer. Oh, how we need patience in the world today. We need it in our home. We need it in business. We need it in school, in the church, in our walk with the Lord. The theme for today, it seems to be, hurry up. Make it quick. Let's make it fast. Can we do this any faster? That seems to be the theme today. And we're tempted to follow that theme of impatience in our life living for the Lord, but we often miss out on the things that you simply have to wait for. You can't rush God. He has his own timing, and it's usually not our timing, but it's the right timing. Does anybody remember those microwave TV dinners? Does anybody remember those? Yeah. Weren't they great? They had anything you could want. Salisbury steak. Is that how you say it? Or turkey and dressing. And chicken nuggets. I guess they were chicken. I don't know. But you could have corn and green beans. And some of them had cherry cobbler or something like that. Oh, you just put some holes in the plastic cover and put it in the microwave, and about 5 minutes, it's ready to go. I guess they still have them. I don't mean to. Maybe that's your favorite type of meal. I don't mean to put it down here. So I really try to stay away from them. But what a difference in popping something into the microwave for 5 minutes and someone that knows how to put the right ingredients together. They get a pot on the stove, or they turn that oven on, or even better, they have a crock pot that cooks it all day long, and you can smell it all through the house. And then when it's ready to eat, it's fresh and it's hot, and it tastes like real food. It takes patience to have something that's worthwhile. It takes patience. And it takes patience to truly have the relationship and blessings that God wants us to have with Him. There's some times that you're not going to see the breakthrough spiritually if you're not willing to tarry in prayer. There's some times that you don't get the blessing the very first time you pray about it. There's sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord, and God doesn't operate on man's timetable, but His timing is absolutely perfect. We just have to learn to be patient. God, help me to resist the temptation to hurry up and make it quick, because I may just pass right on by the miracles and the blessings and the good things that you have in store for me. Lord, help me to be patient, to wait on You. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let patience have her perfect work, that we can be perfect, that we can be entire, that we can be whole, so we don't miss something important that God has for us, so that God can do a perfect work in us. The next time your patience is being tried, we need to remember the trying of our faith worketh patience, and we need to let patience work so that we can be made perfect. What are some examples of patience from the Word of God? We see how Paul was patient. He tells us that he had a thorn in the flesh. He described it as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what this thorn was. Many have theories and ideas about it, and there's some that they think maybe it was a temper. Maybe it was a temper. Some say it was eye trouble, that he had poor eyesight. Some think maybe it was the opposition that he experienced in his working for the Lord. Maybe it was just some particular people that really tried to get under his skin. I don't know exactly what it was. But whatever it was, we know it gave him much trouble. And we read his writing in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He decided, whatever it was, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, he decided it's worth it to keep it. It's worth it to deal with it. It's worth it to have a little struggle there and have something to pray about, because it's better to have the thorn in the flesh and have God's blessings and God's strength and the abundance of the revelations that were given to Paul. It's better to have those things than to not have the thorn and not be able to handle the blessings of God. And so we can see the patience of Paul. We need to be thinking about patience. And does it seem like you have a thorn in the flesh? Maybe it's someone or something. Or come on, do you have a cross to bear? Well, ask God to do whatever's best about it. He may not take away the thorn. He may not remove the cross, but he can help you by giving added grace so that whatever your situation is, you can make it through it and come out stronger on the other side. It could be that he's allowing us to go through some things and some things to come in our life in order to keep us grounded because of the blessings he has and the anointing that he wants to put in our life. And so we must learn to be patient and ask God, give me grace to make it through this. Give me grace to stand through this. Give me grace, Lord, to still trust you, even though my faith is being tried and it's working patience. Another example of patience in the Bible, Joseph was patient. His brother sold him into slavery. He didn't understand everything, but they were jealous and they hated him. He didn't understand all of what was happening in life, but he trusted God to work out his plan in his time. If you follow the story of Joseph, he patiently worked faithfully in every situation he found himself in. And he wasn't treated fairly, but he waited for God to fulfill his promise. And God took him from a pit to a prison to a palace. And he made him leader over his people. And not only that, but he ruled over the people of Egypt too. And it was God that lifted Joseph up to a place of great power and responsibility. And he would have never made it there if he'd been impatient and not trusted the Lord to work things out in his time. Job, what a lesson in patience. Probably the best known story of patience in the Bible. To prove Job's faithfulness to him, God allowed the devil to destroy everything Job owned. He was a wealthy man, but he lost his crops. He lost his prosperity. He lost his cattle. He lost his servants, his property. He lost his children. But he never blamed God. He accepted that God had a plan, and he was patient in that plan for his life. Job's friends came to counsel him, to help him. If you read the account given, they were trying to find out what sin was it that Job had committed to bring all of this calamity in his life. But Job didn't give in to them, and you see, he understood sometimes bad things happen to good people. Job understood that God still had a plan through this all, and he was willing to accept what God had allowed in his life. And in the end, God restored to Job twice as much as he had in the beginning. What a lesson in patience. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Looking to the New Testament, Luke chapter 2 tells the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, and the angels announced his birth to the shepherds who went to see Jesus in a manger. Later in that same chapter, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to give an offering for the birth of their child. And God had revealed to a man named Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the birth of the Messiah. The Bible does not indicate exactly how long Simeon waited, but it must have been for some time, in quite a few years. And after they came to the temple, we read in Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 27, that Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led of the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. His patience paid off. Of course, the ultimate example of patience is in Jesus Christ himself. Think about it. Jesus was patient. Here he was, God manifested in flesh. And the people didn't understand who he was. His disciples, he spent years with them, walked with them for 3.5 years. His disciples really didn't even understand who he was. But he never lost his patience with Judas and Peter walked with him. Judas betrayed him and Peter denied him. But still Jesus was patient. It was at the wedding in Cana that he said, hold on, mine hour is not yet come. He didn't get ahead of himself. And there was times after he performed a great miracle that, and it's kind of curious, you can read it, but he'll admonish the people. He says, now keep this quiet. Don't go spread this miracle around. We'd want to be telling everybody about it. Post it online. Get a Fox News exclusive or something. Tell everybody about what's happening. But Jesus understood that his hour was not yet come. And so he was patient. He learned, he knew how to wait until it was proper time. Look at the trial of our Lord. He was patient even in the midst of a trial that was totally trumped up. Not one word of bitterness or anger was spoken. He was patient right through all of his suffering. Here they were beating and crucifying the very one who had created them. Yet he was patient. And as he hung there on the cross, we read in Luke 23, 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in death, even in his flesh, he was crying out in patience to the Spirit, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have the ultimate example of patience in Jesus Christ. We have a long ways to go to be like him. But we're called to be Christ-like. We're called to bear the marks of Jesus Christ in us. God, help us to be patient. Patience means having the ability to wait. The soldiers from the world wars speak of the zero hour. The zero hour. that hour just before an attack or an advance was made, being the hardest hour that those soldiers ever had to live through. They knew something big was coming. They were prepared. They were ready, but they had to wait. You see, if they charged too early, they'd destroy the element of surprise and likely get killed in the process. And so they had to wait until the proper time. It's important for us to know how to wait, to be patient, to not rush headlong into something before it's time. There's times people, they just want to do something for God, and they want to see doors open, and they want to see miracles take place, and so they rush off without direction. And they waste all of their energy before the right time. We have to allow God to open the doors. He opens them in His own time. We've got to be willing to wait for His timing. In the book of 2 Samuel, there's this curious account that follows the death of David's rebellious son, Absalom. There was a man named, and I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but we're going to call him Ahimaaz, who begged Joab to let him run and bring the tidings to King David. But Joab told him, he said, no, you can go bear tidings another day because the king's son is dead today. And then Joab turns to another man named Cushai and tells Cushai, and he says, go tell the king what you've seen. And so the account says that Cushai runs to tell King David what he saw that day. And after he runs away, Ahimaaz comes again to Joab, and he's begging him, let me run after Cushai. And Joab says, what are you going to run for? You don't have anything to tell. But he begs him. He says, let me run. So Joab tells him, I can just see it. Go ahead, run. And so Ahimaaz, he takes off running. He must have been a track star. And he runs faster than Cushai, and he gets to David first. And they ask him to tell him what happened. And he says, I really don't know. I didn't really see what happened. I just wanted to run. David, the king, think you're standing before the king, and the king says, stand aside. And they wait for Cushai to come, who gives them the news. And in our excitement to run, in our excitement to do something for God, in our zeal to carry out God's work, we'd better make sure that we have the right message that we're supposed to run with. Praise the Lord. We better be patient so that we know we're in God's will and that it's God that's opened the doors and we're not just rushing headlong into something unwisely. We better be sure that we wait for the proper time to run. Imagine the man's shame when the king has to say, stand aside. But patience means the ability to wait. Praise the Lord. Patience means acceptance and obedience. We don't reject our fate, but we must accept the will of God in our life. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. Acceptance and obedience. Patience means endurance. Now, endurance training has really become a big deal in the fitness realm lately. I know a lot about this. Training muscles to endure over a long contest. You know, you see these people with the little stickers on the back of the car, you know, 13 or 26, whatever it is. They've run a mile or a half marathon. Then I saw one the other day, it had 0.0, and I thought, yeah. We need strength to endure, though. Patience helps us to endure the daily grind of life. Forbes magazine states that 90% of all business startups fail. What is the difference in those that fail and those that become successful? There's a lot of factors that goes into this, but one major thing is that some learn to stick it out and others don't. Many people join the church, but not all endure. Many people start out to live for the Lord, but not all endure. You see, people are great about making commitments to God, but so many only keep them for a short time. We need to learn the lesson of endurance, to patiently endure. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 tells us, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Praise the Lord. So when do we need patience? When do we need patience? First of all, we need patience when we can't understand. When we can't understand. There's a lot of mysteries to life. You believe that? There's a lot of mysteries to life. There's a lot of mysteries to the life of a Christian, living as a Christian after the Lord. Things that we can't understand. But we as Christians understand there's some things that we're not going to understand on this side of eternity. How I love that the chorus of that old song. It says, "By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by." We simply don't have the capacity to receive some things. We're operating with finite minds, and our finite mind can't fully comprehend infinite things. Amen. That's where faith comes in. We patiently have faith in the things that we can't understand. Revelation 14 and 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." We patiently have faith in those things that we don't have the capacity to receive and understand right now. Jesus was talking to the disciples about things to come in John 16 and 12, and he says, "I've yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." We have to be patient. We have to leave the mysteries with God. We have to be content with letting God know more than we know. You know, I'm naturally kind of, if I hear my kids over in a corner talking about something, I want to know what they're talking about. My wife's texting, what you doing over there? Who are you talking to? Sometimes we got to be content letting God know more than we know. We are to take the mysteries of faith and the things that we can't understand. And someday, in a heavenly place, we'll sit down beside the Lord and He'll explain to us why everything is the way it is and the mysteries of life. And I think we'll probably see at that point some of the hardships that we went through. They were simply blessings in disguise, things that God did for us in our good, and it did it for His glory. But right now, we've got to bear the mark of patience in things that we can't understand. We'll understand it better by and by. We're to have patience when we suffer disappointment. Think about it. When we make big plans and we dream big, but when plans and dreams fall through, our hearts are broken. But that's the time to be patient. That's the time to take up the cross and follow Jesus. It's often when plans and dreams are broken that people become defeated and quit. But that's the time we need to trust God even more. That's the time that we need to stay closest to the church. That's the time that we must be determined to make it all the more. When we have the right kind of patience and when we suffer the disappointments of life, it causes us to pull ourselves together and to walk on even more determined to make it. If we have the mark of patience within us, then even when great disappointment comes, we can remember Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Oh, come on, somebody. That broken dream may have brought disappointment. That plan, it fell through and it was a blow, and that failure was a setback. But if we love God and if we're called according to His purpose, then we stand on the Scripture and we stand on faith. We stand in patience and we declare, somehow this is working for my good. Somehow God's going to bring something blessed through this. I'm going to be patient and see the good that God is going to bring. Praise the Lord. We need patience when things are moving slowly. Have you ever tried to teach someone something and they just weren't getting it? I'm telling Sister McCoy tonight a little bit, but you need to have her tell you this story sometimes. It's a funny story, unless you're a teacher, but she had this friend, her best friend. There was a certain class, and they would sit on opposite sides of the room, and they would take the little bouncy ball, and while the teacher was writing on the board, most of our kids are not in here, Brother Michael, don't do this, okay? They would bounce the ball back and forth. Sometimes it'd get loose, and they'd have to, try to track it down, and so this teacher would explain everything. I think it was a math teacher, and he'd be up on the board just writing away and explaining it all, and he'd turn around and say, "So do you get it?" And either her or her friend would say, "I just don't understand." And they'd get him going, and he didn't realize what that he. "What do you mean you don't understand?" And he'd turn around and he'd erase it all, and he'd start writing again and explain it all, and he'd turn around. I just don't understand. And they'd go, and so she said she feels so bad. And I think he's passed away now. She wishes she could go back and find him and apologize, but. Sometimes that's how we are with God. He's teaching us. He's trying to help us grow and help us learn. He's leading us. He has a plan for our lives to follow, and sometimes we just don't get it, okay? But he's patient with us. He's patient with us. We've got to learn to be patient with God. He's patient with us. We've got to learn to be patient with him. Sometimes things don't move as swiftly as we think they ought to move, but we've got to learn to be patient. Missouri is the cave state. I don't know if that's the official term, but there's a lot of caves in Missouri. And perhaps you've been to some of them in the area, seeing all the great formations, the beautiful sights that are normally hidden away deep below the ground. Those stalactites and stalagmites, they grow very slowly. In some cases, they're estimated to grow an inch every 100 years. Just an inch. Every 100 years. In other cases, they have been observed to grow as much as 1 inch in 8 days, but it was under just certain atmospheric conditions. Sometimes we're wishing that we are more on the inch in 8 days instead of an inch in 100 years. We wish things were moving on a little faster. God, can you please bring this blessing on just a little quicker? Can you please open this door a little faster? But that's when we learn to be patient. We may not be able to see much progress in the work that we're doing for God, but we must keep patient and we must keep on working. God will give the increase in his timing. You may not be seeing the visible results of prayers, but don't you dare quit praying. Don't you give up on praying. You keep it up because God hears your prayers. Don't you dare give up because there will be an answer. Amen. Come on, Simeon. Simeon, don't you dare give up waiting on that promise. It may have been many years and the Messiah hasn't come yet, but you keep expecting and you keep patient and you keep praying because Mary and Joseph are about to bring the baby to the temple and you're going to see the results of the prayers that you've been praying. Come on, is there a Joseph in the house? Is there a Joseph here tonight that it seems like every step you take, it just seems like it's taken further and further away from your promise and from the good things that God has promised you, but you keep serving God and you keep patient because you and sometimes you still got to wonder, God, do you know where I'm at? God knows right where you're at, and he's working it for your good. Amen. He takes what the enemy means to destroy, and he works it for your good. Maybe there's a Job here tonight, and you've been going through some things, and friends have let you down, and you've lost some things, and people have questioned, why are you still being faithful to God after all this? Hey, why don't you just curse God and die, but you stay patient. You pass that test. Come on, you pass that test. God has more in store for you in the end than you ever had in the beginning. Be patient. Be patient. Bearing the marks of a Christian, we need to bear that mark of patience. We need it in the home, through the ups and the downs, through the good and the bad, through sickness and health, through poverty and through wealth. Patience with our children. Patience with our spouse. Patience in the home. We ought to be Christians in business. That means being patient in business. Being willing to make the investment of time and resources and hard work. Not taking illegal shortcuts, but being patient. Don't quit, but persevere. Endure. We need patience in school. Patience in our study of the Word of God, building line upon line and precept upon precept. Rome wasn't built in a day. Let God develop you over time. Be patient, and one day you'll look back and you'll see where God has brought you from, and you'll be amazed. Patience in the church. Patience in our walk with the Lord. God doesn't work in a microwave TV dinner type of style. It takes time. It takes time for Him to develop us. It takes time to learn the lessons of truth, of sacrifice, of faithfulness. But I tell you, the journey's worth it. The journey is worth it. The sacrifice is worth it. Don't you dare give up. Don't you lose hope. Don't you lose patience. But keep trusting in God. I wonder if we could stand in closing tonight. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And there's some spiritual marks that set us apart from the world around us. Are we showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? If you look at our life, do we bear the marks of Jesus Christ? We must learn to be patient. What is it tonight that you've been impatient about lately? What is it that you're just about to give up on? Could it be that you're in that 0 hour, that moment just before the charge against the enemy? That time just before the dawn, that moment just before the surprise attack, that hour right before the great victory. Don't get impatient. Don't give up. Don't rush into something against the will of God. Many times, young people, they hit 20 or 25 or 30, and they think, oh, I got to get married. I got to get married. And they just find somebody to get married with. I want to tell you, it's better to be unmarried than be married to the wrong one. Thank God, somehow the Lord had mercy on me. And I found one that'll put up with me. And some of you can say that same thing. Don't rush into something against the will of God. Be patient. Be patient. That song that Tim Spell sings about God unfolding the rose. What a beautiful message. You can take that rose and you can be impatient. You can be ready for it to open. You want to see it in all of its glory. You start pulling it apart and you try to force it open. And you'll get it open, but it won't be pretty. However, if you wait and it unfolds in such a beautiful manner, let patience have her perfect work. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So I've just come to encourage somebody here tonight. Don't give up. Let's endure. Let's wait on the Lord. Do not be weary in well-doing. Come on, if we keep faithful, if we endure to the end, we're going to reap a reward. There's going to be a blessing in our life. There's going to be a blessing in our home, in our family, in our church. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on the Lord. I guarantee you, God is working behind the scenes, and God has got something in store for you that'll blow your mind if you'll just be patient and you'll follow the Lord and you'll wait on the Lord to open the right doors. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for God's love? Aren't you thankful for God's mercy, for His grace, for His faithfulness? Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and say, Lord, help us today. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us to wait on You. God, help us to wait in the right timing for what You have for us, for the blessings that You want to pour out in our lives. Lord, we worship You. We praise You here tonight, God. Help us, Lord, to bear the marks of a Christian. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to be patient, Lord, to wait till the right time, God, that You open the door and You bring the blessing and You provide. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, glory to God. Come on, I don't know who it is, but I just feel in my spirit that there's some people going through some things, and the thought has crossed your mind, why don't I just give up? Why don't I just quit church? Why don't I just throw in the towel? It's not worth it. It's too much of a struggle. There's too much here that I don't understand, but somebody, God wants to speak to you and say, just be patient. You don't know what's around the next bend. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. There may be a blessing on your way that those prayers have been building up before the Lord, and it's about to come down, that God has a blessing for your life. Praise the Lord. Would you reach over, just take somebody by the hand, put your arm around somebody, and let's pray. God, I pray that You would encourage my brother. I pray that You would encourage my sister. Help them to be patient, Lord. Help them to trust in You. Help them be faithful to You, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that You'd help us to stand through the storm. I pray that You'd help us to trust You, even when we don't understand, God. Help us be willing, Lord, to trust You. We're going to understand it better by and by, but I put my faith in You, Lord. I trust in You today. I'm going to be patient for You to open the right doors and to make a way in my family and in my life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. In closing, I went to a place when Brother Joel McCoy was here in our revival a month or two ago. I took him to a place to eat one day, and their special was chicken and dumplings. I was excited, and so we ordered the special. When the special came, it wasn't so special. But it was some kind of warmed up gravy over some kind of frozen thawed out biscuit or something. I don't know. Now, I've seen, Brother Pruitt, I've seen chicken and dumplings made. I haven't ever made them, but I've seen them made. And Sister McCoy knows how to do it, and it takes a little process. You got to get the chicken ready, and you got to get the broth ready, and you got to work with that, and it takes some time, and then you put the dumplings in there, and oh, I want to tell you what. What are we having to eat tonight? It takes time. And God has some blessings and has some wonderful things for us. But it's not going to be in a microwave kind of timing. That's not His timing. Be patient. Be patient. Praise the Lord. We love You. We appreciate You. Come